What's going on, family? This is Mateo. Some of you guys may know me as the Jaguar Shaman. This is episode 19. Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate everybody who's been showing me support on the podcast, who's been checking in. I didn't make an episode for the week of Thanksgiving because, you know, things with family, just things popping up. There was a lot of time that I kind of wanted to spend, with the family and kind of appreciate those moments. So I didn't get to take out a chunk of my day to kind of sit down and get something on paper. But it's good because over the weekend, I kept thinking about, what I wanted to do. And I actually ended up having a reading done. And this reading kind of assured me that, you know, I needed to get something out in terms of some shamanic techniques for spiritual protection, spiritual defense, and spiritual cleansing. So as you guys know, shamans in the ancient times went, you know, through many names: medicine men, curanderos, brujos, diablos, you name it, they probably had every single name in the book. Because a shaman's work was never really set in stone, you know, like a smith is somebody who works on metal. And, they have that name because that's specifically what they do. You know, shamans didn't really have a name to what they did because what they did was manipulate energy and kind of see through altered states of consciousness where this energy was flowing and what they were allowed and what they could do with it. And, you know, although they were very careful, they did, take part in manipulating and clearing and cleansing energy of themselves, of individuals, of the tribal land, you name it. That was kind of their domain. And so shamans have various techniques that they've used, you know, over the millennia to kind of, you know, clear energy, control it, be wary of spiritual or psychic attacks, kind of how to treat certain things and how to, give power back or energy back to the individual in places where it might be stagnant and where it might be, stuck. So before I get into kind of the methods and break down each method and explain how you would go about kind of doing this on yourself, I want to give a couple of disclaimers. The first disclaimer is you're going to notice a recurring theme in a lot of these methods, which is prayer and intention setting. These two things are key, to the shamans in pretty much everything that they do. A shaman is always wary of their intention. And you know, whenever they're going to kind of connect with the Great Spirit or the Nagual, as the ancient shamans of Mexico used to call it, they would always pray for this connection to be established and for them to be able to clearly state their intent to the energy with which they were requesting in order for them to complete whatever it was that they were going to complete. And so, prayer and intention setting are very powerful in general, but especially when it comes to spiritual protection, spiritual guidance, and spiritual cleansing. So you're going to notice through a lot of these that I'm going to keep saying, you know, do this with intent, do this with prayer and intent. It's on purpose because I want to drive that point home. And I'm actually going to recap at the end with a breakdown on prayer and its kind of, you know, protective importance and its importance in terms of reaching these altered states of consciousness. The second disclaimer that I wanted to say is I'm going to release some information on here that might speak about certain things that might make people uncomfortable, such as possession, such as, you know, spirits speaking to them, kind of making a distinction in the fact that a lot of psychological diagnoses that are considered as they are today, back in that day, were considered something very differently. And so I don't want people to be offended. None of the advice that I ever give should be replacing the medical advice of a psychiatrist that's treating you, especially if you have, you know, symptoms of major depression, things like that. I don't want to be held responsible for any type of misuse of the information that I'm putting out here, because again, this is just for individuals to use to empower themselves, to clear their area, clear their energy, regain power. That's not to say that there aren't legitimate issues that can't just be cleared through these methods and that do require heavier interventions. So please keep that in mind as well. And the last part that I wanted to talk about is, these are methods that have been used by various different types of shamanic ceremonies and shamanic societies. I'll be clear the ones that I'm more comfortable working with that I have worked with in the past. And then if I'm going to recommend ones that I have never, I'll let you know, because obviously, like I said, I want it to be clear, you know, what it is that I know, what it is that is something that I've read, what it is that I've had revealed to me, but have yet to be, you know, working with and things like that. So with that being said, you know, I want to just dive right in and explain first kind of what do psychic attacks and what does spiritual warfare look like? The way that I see spiritual warfare and the way that it was explained to me by my teacher was that spiritual warfare is anything that basically tries to get between the connection that you have and Source, that great spirit and the Nagua. Anything that does so in terms of, you know, thoughts being implanted, in terms of kind of subliminal messaging being programmed into you, in terms of maybe just like a discomfortable feeling that you have, lack of sleep, insomnia, depression to a certain extent, anxiety to a very big extent, in my opinion. So all of these things are kind of signs that there's something going on with our energy. And shamans believe that every single illness that could be found in a person had a root in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual kind of destination. And so that would manifest into the physical world as whatever it was. And so shamans would always kind of treat anything that was given to them. You know, they would treat it with medicine and herbs, but they would also treat it through energy work, trying to balance out the person's energy body, the luminous sphere, as it was known in ancient Mexico, in order for it to actually be able to be cured in the physical realm or in the 3D realm, and not just kind of the symptoms handled. And so with that being said, they did have an arsenal in which, you know, with which they employed and they used in order to try to help these individuals that came to them, and also to work with themselves. The final disclaimer, actually, I'm glad that I brought that up, is, you know, I don't want people to be using this stuff and going and trying to heal other people. This is strictly for self-use. I don't recommend using methods that, you know, kind of handle energy unless you've at least experienced it yourself and you understand what you're working with and you've become comfortable with working with it yourself, because, again, energy works in very odd ways at times. There's a difference between energy, negative energy, possession, and then spirits, you know, kind of enacting and creating certain phenomenons. And so, again, definitely use this for yourself. Try it as best as you can on yourself. Please don't go out playing healer and you know, doing these things with other people, because there could be consequences to these things unless you kind of understand and know what you're doing or have the experience to work with these things. So first of all, we're going to start with the kind of the basic one that I feel like everybody has heard of. I know that, you know, the New Age spirituality or the New Age kind of movement has definitely, you know, pushed this to the forefront, and that's smudging. And smudging is basically just using the smoke of various herbs, resins, and different materials to clear the area, clear the space around you, clear your aura. It can be used to clear, you know, locations. It can be used in various types of ways. And I'm sure everybody has heard about, you know, the Palo Santo and the sage. And I know a lot of people have been worried about the fact that there was, I believe, an article that was speaking about how sage or wild sage is endangered because of the new kind of influx of people who were interested in spirituality and are using these plants, you know, in a ritualistic manner. And so that's causing a little bit of an effect on the natural growth and availability of sage. So if you don't want to use sage, you know, I'm going to offer a couple of examples that you could use that could kind of, you know, take the place of sage. So you can use frankincense resin. You can use lavender. You can use juniper. You can use hibiscus flowers. There's plenty of them out there. These are kind of the four, along with sage and Palo Santo, excuse me, that I use. And they can be used either, you know, singularly or in combination. What you want to do with them is basically kind of, you know, light the mixture or the herb or the wood. Wait until it gets smoky enough. I happen to have a feather that belongs to an animal native in Colombia, which is a condor. It's a condor feather. And I use that with the smoke as a cleansing method. So I move the smoke around me with the feather. And I kind of envision the negativity and any areas where I feel I may have energy stuck. as flowing outward and kind of being expelled, and then new energy taking the place and shaping that energy body of mind. And, you know, again, you want to kind of get every part of you. I know it's kind of difficult to get your back, but if you can, with the feather, it works, you know. Again, you don't need the feather. You can use your hand. Whatever works for you, whatever is the ritual you want to put behind this. The importance, again, is prayer and intention while you're doing this. You want to pray for whatever it is that you pray for, your higher self, those guarding your higher self, your ancestors, you know, even your spirit animals, spirit guides, spirit teachers, whatever it is that you normally work with. This is what you want to, you know, kind of call into in order to help you cleanse with this smudging technique. It's very, very good to do smudging, you know, 2 or 3 times a day, especially if you're going outside, if you're interacting with people, if you've had kind of negative interactions. It's a great way to kind of reshape your luminous sphere or that energy body or the kind of, you know, as some people call it, an aura, to kind of clear that out and clear out the connection that you have so that you're kind of walking in pure and you know, without heaviness from those negative energies. The second method that a lot of shamans use, and I believe that this one should honestly be done before smudging, but I mean it in the sense of that when you do this method, you want to smudge right after that. And this is kind of a house energy cleansing method. It's something that ancient shamans used to do when they used to come in and be called in by families because there was some type of disturbances in the house, or the energy felt heavy, or the family had just fallen into kind of a bad luck spell, or there was issues with the relationships. So what they used to do was they used to come in, and the ancient shamans believed that basically humans, animals, and objects all left these kind of individual energy footprints wherever they went. And so they believed that this could be either positive energy or negative energy. And so what they would do is they would get into a sort of meditative trance state. Not sitting down and meditating, but they would get to a point where they were clear enough and connecting with source and their intuition, and allowing kind of the Nagua to feel their way through the house to see where there might be these clogs of energy or this heavy energy set. And what they would do is, you know, once they kind of walked through and felt that area out, they would kind of set up an altar. And, you know, you can do this as well. When you do this, you know, walk around the house, feel where you think that the areas of negativity are. Sit down if you have an altar. This works great with altars. Majority of shamanistic rituals and ceremonies have an altar. It is almost like a foundation for source. It is a calling of source, a calling of the Nagua, the Great Spirit, to be there present in that ceremony. So if you can make an altar, that's great. If you can't, you know, you can still kind of pray and create almost an intention as the altar for yourself. And so once they would do that, they would invoke the assistance of their guides or whatever kind of gods or goddesses they had in their pantheon. You know, some shamans would invoke the four directions, others would invoke their teacher spirits, their spirit guides, and they would basically request protection and clarity of mind so that they could do the work that they were about to kind of begin doing. And so there were several methods that they would go about it. The one that I was taught by my teacher, I'm going to break it down for you. But again, any of these methods can be, you know, switched. Again, it matters more in the intent that you're setting, and that the genuine intent comes from your heart and what you want to do, that you truly want to clear the space and that you're truly calling on these energies to assist you in the clearing of this space. So in Colombia, in the Andes, my ancestors had access to a sugarcane rum called aguardiente. You know, I'm sure that if you go to your liquor store and you ask for aguardiente, it's a clear bottle. It looks like vodka, but it's actually sugarcane rum. And what they would do is a process called camé. And this camé process involves you actually taking a swig of the sugarcane and then blowing the alcohol out in kind of an intentful, forceful push so that it would come out as a spray. If you've ever seen fire breathers, that's kind of what they would do, but they would focus the intent on the four corners of each room and then the center. When things felt very heavy and they felt that the kame wasn't enough, they would light a candle, set intention on the candle, and then with the kame, blow it out through the candle so that it would create a fireball effect into the room. Obviously, I don't have to tell you guys that this is dangerous, and if you don't or have not practiced it, please don't go trying to spray fireballs into your room or into flammable areas. it's not necessary. You can do it without the candle. I'm just giving you the kind of process that shamans would use if they felt that the area was too heavy in negative energy. If you're going to do kame, practice it outside where you're not going to get in trouble, where you're not going to light anything on fire, please. So yes, the shamans of the Andes had this technique. And, you know, again, if you notice, it's combining air, fire, and water. So, you know, again, they worked with the elements in all ways that they could during these rituals, because, again, it was kind of their way of connecting with source the most. So once you do that, the kame, where you blow the sugarcane rum out, you can always follow it up with sage or any of the four other smudging techniques that I just spoke about before. You can use full moon rainwater. If it rained a full moon before and you were able to catch that rainwater, you can use that as well after you purify and pray on it and bless it for protection. You can use that to kind of add to the protective field that the kame ritual has created. I mean, if you use natural or ceremonial tobacco, this is a good time for you to bring it out. You know, obviously, you know, thank the spirit, engage the spirit of the tobacco, and then use it with intent and with prayer. Again, with intent and with prayer. What do you want to do with this? You know, give every puff that you give out needs to have some type of intent. It can be the same intent. It can be a mantra that you repeat or a prayer that you repeat. But just make sure that you're connected to that source of prayer and to that source of the Nagual or the Great Spirit as you're doing this. Other than that, as soon as you finish with kind of the smoking kind of aspect of it, whether it be smudging tobacco, you also want to bring in some type of sound clearing you know, technique. I happen to have a Indian singing bowl that I use that, you know, once I blow into it and I feel it, it feels like it literally just, you know, kind of harmonizes the area around me. It just feels like it just clears out everything that was left. If you don't have that, you can use two stones that you bless and that you meditate with, not to be mistaken for crystals. Crystals can be used as well, but this I'm particularly speaking about stones that you bless and that you use. You can clank those stones together, and that vibration will clear negative energies, bring it to the corners of the rooms where energy can get blocked in and stuck. And, you know, as soon as you finish that, kind of just, you know, again, with intent and with focus and concentration on really clearing those vibrations so that it doesn't attract more negativity. Once you finish with that, if you're doing it in your home and you have family members in your home, it's always nice to bring the family together for a quick prayer after you do this. And what you want to do before that prayer is do the smudging technique on one another so that you can clear your auras as well. You can clear your luminous spheres, or you can clear your energy body, and then sit down and pray and set intention with each other. Even if you guys don't believe in the same thing, let them pray to their God, let them pray to their religion. You do your own thing. The importance is that you're praying together to sanctify and protect that home, which you just finished cleansing or just finished working in. So I love that method. I think before you go to any of these methods, you should try to do an energy cleansing for your house, just so you can feel the difference of what it feels to work in a place where maybe energy has been stagnant to a place where it has been cleared. So the next method that I want to talk about is using sea salt. So I'm sure a lot of people who are familiar with crystals and familiar with kind of amulets, they know what sea salt does. Sea salt is a great detoxifier and a cleanser, okay? It is one of nature's methods. I mean, if you've ever gone to the beach and you kind of finish up kind of bathing in the salt water and you come out, you might notice that you feel lighter and you feel different. And even just floating in ocean water is a feeling that, at least for me, leaves me kind of very, very light and very content and very purified. And that's because salt water, you know, it is a great purifier, a very great spiritual purifier. And shamans understood this and they used it very much, not just with crystals, but what they would do is they would literally rub sea salt on their hands and entire bodies and the hands and the entire bodies of other people. Obviously, that might be a little bit difficult nowadays if you don't have the space in your home to do so. So a sea salt bath is also something that you could undertake. Just sprinkle some sea salt, you know, sufficiently enough so that there's enough in the tub, and just get in and kind of, again, lay there, pray with intention, allow the sea salt to do its thing. visualize the negativity getting absorbed by the sea salt as you're in the bath. You can also use sea salt in small bowls and place them across the house in kind of the corners, again, where this negative energy tends to accumulate. You can put it underneath your bed. You can put it in your office, kind of anywhere where you experience a lot of negativity. Sea salt can help alleviate that negativity, and it can really, really help you, you know, kind of distinguish between what it feels like to be, you know, with that heavy presence, and then what would happen when it's there actually taking in that energy. You may notice the differences. And then finally, the last method that I've been taught is, you know, you can put sea salt in a bowl, put your hands in there, and just meditate with your hands inside the sea salt bowl, visualizing with intent and prayer that the energy be drawn outside of you through the pores of your hands, through the chakras that people, you know, talk about that are in your hands, however you want to call it, anything that helps. But just visualize that negativity, that negative energy going into the bowl and into the sea salt, and then obviously dispose of the bowl when you're done. The fourth method that I have to speak on is coal. I actually tweeted about this yesterday, I believe, and it was talking about kind of Ash Wednesday and ashes and coal and wood coal. And basically, I mean, this is an ancient method. You know, ashes were always seen as protective forces for some reason by the, you know, ancient shamans and ancient cultures. They saw it as almost like a symbol of rebirth and protection, almost like the essence of whatever it is that burned is in that ash. And so when you carry it with you and you put it on yourself or you put it in places, that same essence of protection or whatever it is that you're trying to tap into is there. So one of the methods that I use when I'm using coal or wood coal, you know, is I always pray on it first. I'll use the wood coal beforehand in a ceremony, whether it be a smudging ceremony, whether it be a meditation, whether it be a shamanic journey or a soul retrieval meditation that I tend to do. You know, I always kind of set the intent that I want this wood coal to burn for me in the best, highest protection and alignment with my guides, with my protectors, with my ancestors, and with my highest self. And once it's burned and into ash, what I'll do is I'll take that ash or I'll take the residue that's left. You know, I'll grind it a little bit. I'll put it into a natural cloth so that the powder doesn't go everywhere. And then with the natural cloth, I'll just kind of dab myself, you know, around my body. I'll rub it into my third eye region just, again, with intent and prayer so that it gives clarity of mind, that it gives clarity of connection to the Nagua or source. And then once that's done, I might actually grab that bag and put it underneath my pillow because it also serves as protection in your dreams. A lot of people don't know that we are prone to spiritual attacks in our dreams. We are prone to spiritual attacks anytime in our waking consciousness. And by waking, I don't mean that you're asleep. It just means that you're aware, whatever state that you're in. But as long as you're aware, you are, you know, vulnerable to spiritual attacks and assaults of that kind. So again, putting it under your pillow, it helps absorb that negativity. You know, it protects from spiritual attacks and it definitely contributes to spiritual protection. The fifth method that I want to talk about is baths, right? So I'm sure you've heard about cleansing baths. You can do baths even yourself. When you go in, even if you're taking a shower, you can kind of do a cleansing meditation with a shower, as long as you're doing, again, with prayer and intention beforehand, what it is that you want to be cleansed. And, you know, just make sure you get into kind of a peaceful meditative state and it'll work out for you. But the five types of baths, excuse me, that I want to talk about are actually five baths that I'm familiar with that I've actually done myself and I've done with others. And so the first one is a salt bath. Again, we just spoke about sea salt water. It's very, very good at detoxifying and cleansing. I'm not going to go into further why that helps. That's what it is. Baking soda helps as well. Baking soda has a lot of kind of purification qualities and it has been shown to be a very good kind of detoxifier and it works well with the body. It doesn't, you know, really affect that many people in a negative way. Obviously, if you have some type of reaction to baking soda, don't do that. If you can't do the bath in a bathtub or any of these baths in a bathtub, a technique that I was taught was to use your hand as a ladle and six times over your left shoulder, pour it, six times over your right shoulder, pour it, and six times over your head, pour it, while you're praying and imbuing with intention and concentration. Okay, again, I keep repeating these things, and it's not by mistake. Prayer, intention, and concentration are required in any of these cleanses that you're doing, especially particularly the bath, so that, you know, the water isn't losing its power, that it's being imbued with your power and your protection. Some shamans have recommended beer baths. You know, beer, liquor, and wine have all been seen to hold and possess certain spiritual qualities. Some shamans have done beer baths. I've never done a beer bath, but I have heard from my teacher and people that he's worked with that they worked great. I do actually intend on doing a beer bath for myself during the fast that I'm going to be doing this week for the new moon, hoping to see how that feels and be able to return to you guys with some feedback regarding that. But out of all these baths, the beer bath's the only one I haven't worked with. And finally, the last one, and probably the two more kind of powerful ones, these are more for like when there's like a heavy spiritual presence or attack that you feel, you know, and again, this is kind of why I gave the disclaimer, because this is going to cross into more of a practical, from a practical standpoint to a more spiritual heavy standpoint. Ammonia baths, you know, 6 drops of ammonia mixed with rue leaves, also known as the herb of grace. That's what I use for more heavy spiritual attacks, or when I feel like there's more heavy energy necessarily than that can't be necessarily cleansed with the methods that I used before. 6 drops of ammonia, and again, it's the rue leaf, or the, it's also known as herbs of grace. So you just mix that in a bath and you sit there, meditate, pray. That works great in terms of kind of when you're under heavy spiritual attack. The sulfur bath works great as well with this kind of attack, just because of the nature of sulfur. Sulfur is a very reactive, I want to say crystal. It's really like a mineral, but really it's like it embodies both. And so it's been used, you know, a lot in spiritual lore. It's known, as a very spiritually charged material. And so using that in your bath definitely helps for protection, for cleansing as well. Again, all of these baths should be combined with prayer and imbued with intention and concentration. One of the other methods is sweating. You know, I know a lot of people don't like to sweat, but sweating is good for you. Sweating is a natural reaction that your body does when there are toxins. The body sweats out these toxins. It's the first things to go out of your skin. These toxins obviously hold negative energy, and so they can kind of clog you up spiritually if you haven't done a detox. You know, detoxing is very important in terms of your spiritual defenses, because if your temple is clean, then your spirit will be strong. If your temple is dirty and assaulted, it's going to weaken the spirit and the soul as well. So shamans used to bring these people into sweat lodges and kind of have them sitting underneath the fire and just let them sweat everything out, because they felt that even though it cleared the body, it also cleared the soul and the connection to spirit, or the Nagua. With that being said, you know, that is the body's natural reaction. And so it's always good, again, to just kind of envision the intention and envision the toxins and the negativity exiting your body when you're sweating. If you're going to be sweating, you might as well take the opportunity to imbue it with that intention so that it draws that energy out. The 7th method that I believe I've already spoken about in the house cleansing kind of depiction of it, but that I want to speak about again, is Kamei. It's the method used by the Andean shamans using the sugarcane rum, except instead of spraying it out into the environment, you're not going to spray it onto yourself. You're going to take a swig of that aguardiente or the sugarcane, and with a intentful blow, you're going to spray it out onto yourself to clear your energy body of any type of negativity or anything like that. You know, shamans used to use this on other people. I don't recommend you go around just spraying other people with your spit and liquor. I don't think it'll go very well. Definitely do it on yourself. You know, it helps a lot. And I say this from personal experience. This is one of my favorite methods of kind of cleansing. It's a quick cleanse. And the sugarcane alcohol doesn't smell like vodka or anything like that. It smells pretty good. So this is definitely good for like something you want to do pre-shower, kind of in the morning if you want to do it, or something like that. And then you can go shower and get that, you know, smell and stickiness off of you. Another method that is good, I think I've already touched about the use of feathers, but feathers are also good in terms of kind of using the power of whatever animal or the energy of whatever animal, and you know, kind of moving it around and kind of brushing it off as though you would use a Swiffer Duster. Again, with intent, this works best with animals that resonate with you. Like I said, I use a condor feather, because the condor is native to the Andes. It is native to Colombia, and so kind of very, very much used by the jaguar shamans of that area as well. And again, it just resonated with me because, you know, I've had a lot of dreams with condors since I was a kid. It's been something that's been imbued into the cultural lore that I kind of have grown up around, and so it works great with me. amulets and stones. Again, the stones are good for, you know, kind of the noise and the sound vibratory quality that they do. It's good to use them to clear the vibrations of sound or vibrations in the room using sound. Amulets are just jewelry that you imbue through word and prayer. You can charge them as well, but again, it's more your prayer and your words that are going into this and creating the intention of whatever it is that you want this amulet and these stones to be. Mirrors are great ways to deflect spiritual attack. If you have some type of mirrored surface, you keep it close to your heart. It helps for you know, deflection of kind of any assault on you or on your divinity. You know, people use a lot of mirrors in their rituals and in their kind of altars to communicate with the other side or the spirit realm, or to see things that they may not see kind of on this side. They'd have to see it through the mirror. So be wary of that. Crystals, I mean, I don't think I have to go into debt with this. I think everybody understands that crystals are in some type of way alive. You know, obviously the shamans who believed that everything had spirit going through it knew that they were very well alive, and so they would use them. Each crystal has their own properties. If I sat here going over what each crystal did, then that would take me about another 3.5 hours, and so we're not going to do that. But anybody interested in crystals as a protection or as a defense or to absorb or propel, repel, negative energy, you can always do your research. Again, each person is kind of born when they're born in each type of the astrologies with a certain stone, with a certain thing that works. So it would help for you to do your research when it comes to crystals to see which ones would work best with you and also which ones resonate with you. I wanted to touch on sulfur again, this time sulfur snake. So again, a disclaimer, this is going to be much more spiritually heavy and not so much practical to the people that don't necessarily believe in it, because it's not going to be useful. But the useful part of it is you can roll the sulfur sticks around your body, and it's supposed to kind of repel the negativity and kind of cleanse your aura, cleanse your luminous sphere, cleanse your emotional and spiritual body. But also, as a sign of possession, you know, oftentimes shamans use sulfur sticks. They'll have the person hold them in the middle, and if they crack, it means that you could be under possession. It's one of the signs of possession. So just be careful. I mean, you know, don't go around cracking sulfur sticks on purpose because you're nervous and then calling it possession. But again, just giving it out there, that information of what the culture used to use it as and how they used to use it. Just be careful. And then the second part to that is if you bring sulfur sticks to your ear and if you hear hissing or kind of cracking, it could mean that you have some kind of emotional distress being caused by outside entities. In other words, you have emotions and thoughts that aren't yours, and there is some type of entity or some type of being that is causing that. And so be wary with those last two techniques that I spoke on. Finally, you know, last but not least, in terms of the list is nature. I mean, nature is our greatest detoxifier. Obviously, you can see that with salt water. You can see that with stones. You can see that with crystals. It's all using nature in some type of way to kind of cleanse ourselves. And so you could do all these methods, great, but, you know, nothing is going to work as efficiently as just going out into nature and allowing the spirit, you know, the great spirit, the Nagua, to go through you and kind of, you know, cleanse through you as best as possible. You know, this is what the shaman's entire work was understanding that there's spirit everywhere to be seen, especially in nature, and they would commune with nature spirits and they would speak with spirit animals because they understood the healing faculties that you have. So obviously you have the grounding technique, which is take off your shoes, walk around in nature, let the negativity flow out into the earth and let earth recharge you. with new energy. You can tree hug. Hugging trees works as well. It's a very similar method. The tree will absorb a lot of the stuff and then, you know, give you back positive energy. Even just working with kind of nature spirits, anything you've been called to. If you like a certain type of flower, you can invoke the spirit of that flower through intention and through prayer to assist you and protect you. And then obviously I just wanted to, again, just recap with the last part that has been going through this entire thing, which is the best method of protection is through your heart, through prayer, through intention setting. Anything that you work with nature, you're imbuing your energy and power into it, and nature is returning you with equivalent exchange of its power and its nature, and you two together are accomplishing those things. But if you pray, if you pray to your ancestors, if you pray to your higher self, to the things that watch over your higher self, if you pray to the spirits that you believe watch after you, to the gods in the pantheon that you believe watch after you, these are all going to be great ways for you to defend yourself spiritually from spiritual attacks, to cleanse yourself. It's a matter of how you're going to use them and how you're going to maneuver those energies around within your mind's eye that it's going to be as effective. Always be mindful of that, you know, when doing any of these things. Pretty much that's all I really had to say in terms of today's episode. I know it's a lot of information. If you guys want me to type something up for you because you're interested in kind of being able to sit on your own time and read through it, I can definitely do that for you guys. Just got to give me some time. Other than that, I mean, you know, there's been a lot of kind of talk about these energy shifting and a whole lot of things happening. And I don't want people to be afraid of these kind of prophecies that a lot of these accounts are putting out, because it may very well be so. But again, if we're grounded in ourselves and we're praying and we're doing the meditation, you know, if we're following certain fasts, we're following our intuition, we're following the voice inside of us of the Nagual, you're going to be fine. You're going to be always led to your, where you need to be, to your highest potential, to your highest self. So don't let kind of all of these things, you know, get to you. Protect yourself. Believe in your protection. Protect the ones that you love. You know, there is nothing like protection coming from a person that loves you, or protection going to a person that you love. So please just be wary. I hope you guys like this episode. You're going to hear in my next couple of episodes some sponsor messages that I record. It's starting off just with Anchor, which is a platform that I use. You know, it'd be awesome if you guys could just finish up the message. I actually get a little bit of a donation from Anchor for everybody that listens to the message. And so, again, I hope it doesn't annoy you guys. You know, everybody's trying to eat. I love giving this information away for free, but I'd love to also be able to see some type of return in terms of kind of advertisement and stuff like that. So don't mind that. Family, I love you guys. Thank you so much for all the support. I know this episode was a little bit longer than usual, but again, I felt like I needed to get this information out for all the people that wanted to understand, you know, how to protect themselves in the spiritual war that we are, you know, engaged in on a regular basis, whether it be through the media, whether it be through relatives, whether it be generational curses, whether it be entities, you name it. You know, it's real out here, and I want everybody to be able to feel like they have some tools at their disposal to protect themselves. Much love, peace, and blessings to everybody. You know, you can always connect with me on Instagram @_Mitras or on Twitter @TheJaguarShaman. Much love to everybody again. Peace and blessings, fam.